Well, I don't know about you, but it definitely feels like the weather has turned the corner here in the last week or so. In fact, I happen to know that some people experienced a little frost yesterday, as if it got hard to believe that it actually got cold enough to get a little bit of frost on some different places. And it's always interesting, too, where they didn't get frost and where they did get frost. I can't figure that one out, you know. The top of Hannah's car was white yesterday morning. It had frost on it. Either that or it's just getting old. But anyway, of course, I didn't get up early enough to see that, but Lizzie got up and walked and said, "Dad, it was white on top of Hannah's car." And I guess you should know, the car's blue to begin with. So anyway, we're turning that corner, and I actually have uttered these words in the last couple of days. I'm cold. I'm cold. You know, I was kind of like, man, 2 weeks ago, I wouldn't say that. I said, man, when's it going to get cool? And that was like, I'm cold. Can we turn on the furnace? No. Furnace doesn't go into the end of October. You know, in our family, we just suffer. Of course, we do cheap. We have a little heater in the bathroom, and a little heater where we have coffee, and a little heater where I watch TV. So, no, we're not turning on the furnace. But you know, it is time to turn up the heat, and that's what I kind of want to talk about today, because that's what Paul is encouraging Timothy to do in his second letter to Timothy. He's encouraging him to turn up the heat. He's encouraging him, period. Let's just leave it at that. How many of us don't need encouragement from time to time? Yeah, I do. I know that that's one of the reasons God has placed Melissa in my life, is to encourage me. She is one of the most encouraging people, most of the time, that I've ever known. Well, you know, I mean, obviously, no one is totally encouraging all the time, right? You know? But overall, it's just like, she is such an encourager. My kids occasionally can encourage me and say, "Hey, Dad, that was good. Hey, Dad, thank you. You did that well." Or, "Hey, Dad, you know, I mean, we all need words of encouragement." And this is what Paul is doing to Timothy in this passage of Scripture that we're going to look at. He's trying to encourage him in his ministry, and he's trying to remind him of what he's got going for him. And that's the other thing, that from time to time, we need to be reminded what we have going for us. And so if you have your Bibles, we're going to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1, and then we're just going to be looking at verses 6 and 7. 2 Timothy, excuse me, chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Paul writes, "For this reason I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline." Let's pray. Father, in the few minutes that we have here, Lord, I just pray that you would take your word and apply it to our hearts. Father, encourage us as Paul encouraged Timothy. Remind us as Paul reminded Timothy. And Father, as we hear your word proclaimed, may our hearts grow strong in the knowledge of you. Lord, speak to us now. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we look at this passage of Scripture, there are some who are saying that Timothy was having an issue. Well, I don't know if Timothy really was having an issue. I'm not exactly sure what was going on. But again, going back to verse 6, Paul did say, "For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands." Now, it sounds like to me that he's trying to push Timothy, give him a little bit of help, give him a little bit of encouragement here. And it could be, if we go back to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, Paul says to him, "Let no one look down on you, on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example to those who believe." So we get some information here that Timothy is young. How young, we don't know. But Timothy is young, and Paul is saying, don't let anyone look down upon you because you're young. Now, of course, no older people in here would look down on a youth, would they? I mean, we wouldn't do that. We do have a tendency of looking down on those who are younger on us and kind of maybe critiquing them I know mine, every once in a while I said to myself, well, boy, they'll find out that I was not ready. They'll find that out. Well, they'll figure that out in time. And sometimes being a little bit of being critical of what is, of someone's age. And so it's possible that Timothy just needed encouragement because he was young. And maybe because he felt like he was unworthy to share the gospel. But Paul wanted to remind him that he had a spiritual gift. Now, he's talking about the Spirit that is in him. The Holy Spirit. It's what he's talking about here. And we learn in 1 Timothy 4:14, he says, "Don't neglect," sounds very familiar, "don't neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed on you through prophetic utterance with the laying on of hands by the presbytery. Very popular in those days, the laying on of hands. And it was through that Timothy received the Holy Spirit. Now, I had people lay hands on me when I was ordained. We ordained in the Baptist church. You go through one evening of torture. They set you up there and they ask you every question that they think they know the answer to and expect you to agree with them. That's how they text your doctrine. I didn't like that part of it. But then on the following Sunday, what they would do, and I believe Melissa, you came up with me, but we came up, it was my home church at Salt Creek, and we knelt on the floor, and the deacons all came up around us, those scary guys. And they put their hands on us, and they prayed that God would use us, and that was our prayer. But that wasn't at a time when I received a gift, or a spiritual gift. I had already believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit was living in me. But this is referring to the time, and this is when this was all very new, the Holy Spirit and the coming of the Holy Spirit. And so Timothy received the Holy Spirit through the laying on of hands. Now, there are still people today that believe that you have to have people lay hands on you in order to receive the Holy Spirit, but the Scripture doesn't support that. The Scripture supports that was something that they did then, and we are different now. We do different when we accept Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit just comes and lives in us, and there isn't necessarily a laying on of hands. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, for the laying on of hands, because it's very Gerald, you're here somewhere. I think I saw you. Remember Guatemala when we went to that church? And our team went to the church there that we were helping work on and stuff like that. And there was a prayer time, and the people surrounded us, and they put their hands on us, and they prayed. And that was a powerful, powerful, no idea what they were praying, but it was just a very powerful time for us. Again, it didn't impart any particular gift. No, but it did really make us feel blessed that God had used us for this. And I will always remember that. And being Baptist in tradition, that was kind of scary for me to stand there and have all these people, you know, little ladies that were about that tall, you know, coming up, and they put their hands and they start praying in whatever language it was that they were praying in. I don't think I ever did figure out what it was, but that's how they did it. That's how Timothy received his gift, and Paul is trying to remind them that. You received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Yes, you're a young man, but you received the gift of the Holy Spirit. You know, and we've talked about the work of the Holy Spirit. John 14:16, Jesus says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. The Holy Spirit comes, doesn't come and go. The Holy Spirit comes and it stays with us forever. Forever. I mean, the Holy Spirit will never leave us. Even when we're in heaven, God's Holy Spirit is going to be in us. So the Holy Spirit isn't going to leave us, but there is something too. There's a hint of Paul that Timothy was kind of not really fully yielding himself to the Holy Spirit. And even though the Holy Spirit will never leave us and we don't lose our salvation, we can grieve the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, it says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So we can grieve the Holy Spirit. We can cause the Spirit within us. And I truly believe that's by us not listening to the Holy Spirit, not following God's Word, not being active in our spiritual life in many different ways. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. And then again, in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, Paul writes, do not quench the Spirit. Allow the Spirit to work. And this is what I believe Paul is trying to do with Timothy here. He's saying, you have been filled with a tremendous gift. Use it. Allow the Spirit to work in you. And so he says, for this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God. And the imagery here is building a fire. And I wanted to put a fire on the screen there. And so, yeah, that one. And because it's like, you know, a fire, if you just leave it alone, it happens eventually. It goes out. You know, and sometimes, it's even weird, it'll go out if there's wood there. But see, it kind of burns out in between the wood and it makes a hollow, and then you need to poke it and knock the wood down, and then the flames flare up again. And then from time to time, you need to put more wood on the fire. You need to, you know, and I kind of look at, so we need to be active in our spiritual life. That's like poking the fire. But we also need to put more fuel in, and we do that through the study of God's Word, through Scripture, through prayer, and through service. Those are how we put more fuel on the fire. But Paul is trying to encourage Timothy here to kindle afresh the fire that is in you. The Spirit that is in you. And I just thought, man, this is so appropriate for us as we kind of, you know, this is the start of a new season for us. The fall season is kind of a kickoff for our ministries and for our Bible studies and for all kinds of things. And I just want to encourage you is that we have the Holy Spirit in us. Those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the Holy Spirit in us. Let's not forget that. And we need to kindle the Holy Spirit, allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. Now, we're going to look at the next verse. Paul gives Timothy some characteristics of the Holy Spirit. Now, there are four characteristics listed, but only three are of the Holy Spirit. Now, your outline is really simple. There's the word, and then there's a little blank, and that's simply to put a yes or no in. Okay? Can you handle it? You know, yes, no. Yes is right, yes, and no is, you know. I'm a little dyslexic, so usually I spell no, O-N. Unfortunately, my word processor does not catch that, because on is a word, but it certainly isn't the same as no. Anyway, just put a little yes or no in there. And the first word that we're going to look at, or the first characteristic, is the word timidity. Timidity, kind of sounds like humidity, but it's timidity, which means cowardice, or fear, or faithlessness, actually, if you can be taken that far. Is that a characteristic of the Spirit that lives in us? Because we can honestly say, at times, we are fearful of what's going on around us. Or at times, we are fearful for doing the ministry of the Lord because of fear. And, you know, I have to be honest with you, there's probably a little bit of fear in those 30 or 40 or 50 people who are going to show up here on Wednesday night to take care of the 120 little cherubs that are going to come through that door. Probably just a little bit of fear there. You know, but I'm going to tell you that is not of the Holy Spirit, because let's look at 2 Timothy 1:7. It says, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity." The spirit that God has placed in us is not a timid spirit. It does not have that characteristic in it at all. And again, when we look at the word, that timidity means being maybe a little bit of a coward or being fearful of the scripture. It is really full of verses that tell us not to be afraid. John 14:27, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, or let it not, nor let it be fearful." Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let it be fearful. The Holy Spirit is not a spirit of fear. It's not. Romans 8:15, "For you have not received a spirit of slavery, leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry, Abba, Father." See, we have this spirit, and the spirit is not a spirit of slavery. It's a spirit that makes us children of God. And so we shouldn't have fear in our life. Acts 4:13 gives us a little bit of an example of what it looks like when the Holy Spirit takes control of someone. Because this passage of Scripture talks about Peter. Now, this was just a short period of time after Peter had denied Jesus Christ three times. This is that short period of time after in the garden of Jesus' arrest, the disciples fled because they were afraid. And then Peter, standing around the fire, warming himself outside of where Jesus was being tried out, denied Jesus three times because he's afraid to be acquainted, to be put together with Jesus Christ for fear of what they would do for him. Well, now, this is just not too many days later in Acts 4:13. Look what happens to Peter. He says, "As they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus." Now, having been with Jesus was not the key to Peter's confidence. Because he had been with Jesus for 3 years, and then when Jesus was arrested, was Peter confident? Not at all. He was fearful. But all of a sudden now, he is standing up in front of people, and he is basically telling them, "You killed the Son of God." Now, you know, that's not probably a line I'd lead off with if I was confident somewhere. It's because of you. See, he had confidence. There's no fear there anymore. Because the Spirit is not a spirit of fear. The Spirit that God has put into us is not a spirit of fear. So, no, that is not a characteristic of the Holy Spirit, is fear. So, the next word we're going to look at is power. Okay, power. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power. Hey, but of power. Yes, that is a characteristic of the Holy Spirit that lives in us. The Holy Spirit is powerful. Now, for those of us who were in Sunday school class this morning, we discussed about the power of the Holy Spirit. That's not our main subject, but we did talk about it, and it really came out. We have a powerful, powerful Spirit because it is the Spirit of God living in us. And it gives us power. Look what Jesus said to the disciples before he ascended in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in both Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth." You will receive power. See, that's a characteristic of the Holy Spirit. So when the Holy Spirit comes into us, we have the power of God living in us. The power of God living in us. Ephesians 3:20 says, and we looked at this last week, it's in a benediction, but again, it's an appropriate one for today. It says, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly, beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us." Not the power up there, not the power up there, not the power in heaven, the power that is within us. God can do abundantly more than anything we ask or even imagine. Because that's a characteristic of the Holy Spirit, is power. Philippians 4:13, it says, "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." And that's what Paul is trying to remind Timothy. And that's what we need to get out of Paul's reminder, is that we can do all things, not on our own strength and our own ability with our own courage, but with the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit living in us. We can move mountains. We don't have to be afraid of the 120 little, probably not cherubs, monsters that, you know, 5 cherubs, 150 monsters. Anyway, that's what they look like sometimes when they're coming in. Oh yes, mothers dress them really nice. Some of them. But they still can be really scary when they're running towards that door and there's a pack of them, you know. And I'm the door opener and I almost feel like getting inside and locking the door so they can't get in. See, there's a little bit of fear there, and we don't need to have that fear in our life. That's what Paul is telling Timothy, but that's also what God is telling us. We don't need to have that fear in our life because we have the Holy Spirit in us. The next word we're going to look at, love. Is love the characteristic of the Holy Spirit? Well, we'll go back to 2 Timothy 1:7. It says, "For God did not send us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love." The Spirit of love. Now, that again is something we've already looked at when we talked about the the Holy Spirit. But one of the characteristics of the Spirit of God is love. Galatians 5:22-23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, fellowship, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Love. The Spirit gives us love. Now, you know, occasionally I would say, you know, I have a hard time with that person. I have a hard time with that person. I'm sure they have a hard time with me too, but, you know, I'm still supposed to love them, and that's the thing about the Scripture that kind of is sometimes problematic, is that when it tells me that I'm supposed to do something I really don't want to do, you know, how in the world can I love people that are maybe not so lovable? Well, you know, the answer to that is I can't. I cannot. I can't, you know, get myself up to be that good. I can't pick myself up to be that one. But the Spirit of God living in me, that's one of the Spirit's characteristics, is love. So yes, I can love. And I'm sure, you know, if Timothy was having problems with some of the older people that he was ministering to, that maybe they were crotchety, maybe they were saying, oh, you whippersnapper, you don't know anything. You know, I'm sure maybe Timothy found that it would be hard to love these people. But when we have the Holy Spirit, and when we have flamed the Holy Spirit into fire in our hearts, we have the ability to love the people that God has put around us. Romans 5:5 says, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. God's love is in us. It's not from us, it's from God, but it's in us through His Holy Spirit. So yes, we do have the ability to love. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12-14 says, so as those who have been chosen by God, holy and beloved, put on the heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone. Just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Again, the Holy Spirit can help us in this area of loving those who are around us. And loving them in the way they need to be loved. Because sometimes loving them may be that we have to confront them. Not my strong suit. Not my strong suit at all. But, you know, if you see a child heading out towards a busy street and it appears that they're not going to stop, are you loving them to not say anything? Or are you loving them by saying, stop! You're going to hurt yourself. You know, well, you better say stop. Or no. Or whatever word. You know, because that's loving them. Because you want to help them. And the Holy Spirit can provide us that love that we can't conjure up for anyone, but the Holy Spirit can in us when we allow the Holy Spirit to work. And then the final word we're going to look at is the word discipline. Don't like that word, but, you know, because it brings back images of my father and his belt and the woodshed. I don't know how many have those images, and trust me, it was not child abuse. I deserved everything I got. You know, you could already say, well, it hurt Dad more than it hurt me. I don't think so. But, you know, it's nice. It's nice to say. But, you know, that's kind of what conjures our mind what Paul was talking about here is a disciplined life. It's a disciplined life. Self-control. It's self-control is what he's talking. Or another word you can look at is Sound-minded. Sound-minded. Is this a characteristic of God? If you look at our verse, it says, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but one of power and love and discipline. And discipline, or self-control, or sound-mindedness. Yes, that is a characteristic of the Holy Spirit. Again, we go back to Galatians 5, 22 through 23, and we see that at the end of that list, in verse 23, it says self-control. Same type of thing. The Spirit gives us self-control. And we need that, because again, I have a hard time controlling myself. I really do. And stop thinking about it. Can you totally control yourself at all times? Can you do that? And if you're shaking your head yes, then you have a problem because you can't control your mind. Humility or whatever. We have trouble controlling ourselves, but the Holy Spirit, one of the characteristics of the Holy Spirit really working in us is that we are of sound mind, we are self-controlled, we are a disciplined person. And our life is disciplined. We don't do the things that are wrong, we do the things that are right, because the discipline of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And then there, again, other passages, I'm not going to look at these last two passages, Mark, so don't worry about it. But there's a couple other ones there, and I encourage you to look it up. But I just want to encourage you, as we start this new fall, I want to encourage you. Now, we had a deacons meeting, and I got to share with the deacons, and I'm not going to share it with you, but I got to share with the deacons what my summer was like. And all I would describe it is, it was a hot, dry, and it seemed incredibly long summer for me. And I explained that to them. And now the fall is coming. I know I need the encouragement. And I need to be reminded of who it is that I serve, who it is that lives within me, and that I don't have to depend on my own abilities to be an effective minister for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's what Paul is doing to Timothy, and that is what God is doing to us in this passage of Scripture. Flame into fire the Holy Spirit that lives in you. Get busy. Do things. Be part of a Bible study. Learn about God's Word. Be part of a prayer meeting. That is also very powerful and helps you to kindle afresh the Spirit that is within us. Because when that Spirit is in us and when it's on fire, when we're on fire for the Lord, we are not timid. We are not fearful. But we have power. We have love. And we have discipline in our lives. These are not some abstract things that are out there somewhere and we work towards having that. This is something that the Holy Spirit gives to us. And we can have, we can know the power, we can know the love, we can know the discipline right now because of the Holy Spirit living in us. We need to call upon God to ignite His Spirit in us. I'm excited about this fall. I really am excited. I'm excited as I can get. And oh boy, that's exciting. I really am. And I realize that for a large part of my life of ministry, I've been very timid. I've been very timid. I've been afraid to say the things I need to say. I've been afraid to do things. And I can't be afraid to do that anymore. Because the Spirit of God is in me. And that Spirit does not have the characteristic of fear in my life. And so I'm going to look at this fall without fear, I'm going to look at it with excitement about the power that God gives me to love the people that I come in contact with and to control my life in a way that is honoring and pleasing to Him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this encouragement. Lord, now help us to live life. Help us to allow your Holy Spirit, Lord, to work in our lives, to kindle it, to add the fuel to it, Lord, that we need, so that, Lord, we can truly know the power and the love and the discipline that comes only through your Holy Spirit. Lord, thank you for your passage, for your word, for the power it contains. Now, Lord, help each and every one of us to apply it to our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.